Appreciate it. Well, amen. Good to be here with you all. The other speakers couldn't make it, and so he called me. That's how that works. And you go to, I'm usually number 15 on the list. That's not bad. You know, so it should be okay. First of all, before we go too far, I wanted to make sure you understood something. I am not a hamster. Just wanted to get that over with before we went way too far. Amen. Well, good to be in Indiana, and a beautiful day today, beautiful weather. I got to fellowship with some of the guys, and good to see you tonight. And your pastor is correct. It's good to be in a men's meeting, have an opportunity to kind of get away just a little bit and to talk about some things that I believe are a necessity and hopefully a blessing to you. Definitely so. Looking forward to the guys tomorrow morning as well as we continue. I was thinking we are kind of in a new era. They call it now the new norm, and it's not a cool norm, it's just a new norm, you know, and it is. There's more homeschooling taking place as kids stay home. I think people working from home, and that's not always fun, trust me, and so you're working from home, kids from home. You know, I now, I think everywhere I go, I carry a mask. Mine says hello, because preachers have to talk to people, so anyways, but it's like you have to have a mask, a hand sanitizer, all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of new. I mean, it's just, you look back over a year and a half, things have changed. Yeah. You know, and people are talking about this maybe kind of the new norm as things are shifting. Now, the reality is things change all the time. Let me just help you real quick. If you have an aversion to change, you're probably going to be in trouble. Because life just changes. It really does. I remember going out with my dad, and he lives in town, and we're going to get a hamburger, and he refuses to buy the hamburger because it's like $8. And I'm like, Dad, it is 2021. You know, I remember when hamburgers were, I'm like, Dad, it's 2021. Okay, I'm just telling you, this is the way it works. You know, well, we go to McDonald's and a hamburger, Dad, it's 2021. You know, you can't get that across, but you know, things have changed. You know, so you might remember the way things used to be, and now those things are changing. And the reality is if we live a little bit longer, they're going to change again. They really are. You know, my generation is different than some of your all's generation, and we look at the technology generation, and we all have these crazy phones and computers and stuff, and that's why I have a young staff, amen? And I do. I get a new phone, and literally I just hand it to my staff and go, make it work. And they do. And give it back to me when you're done. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm pretty sure I've got trackers and everything. They're following me everywhere I go. You know, and I'm like, I don't care. Just make it work is the way it works. So we're in this change, and we live in change, and we kind of have to adapt. But I will say this. I do like the fact that some things never change. Okay? They don't. And probably the one thing that should never change, and that is this. We know, obviously, thus saith the word of God. That's why we love it, because it's unchangeable. We love that fact. But really, the thing about it is, I believe what's not changing and the guidelines aren't changing is what it means to be a Christian. To be quite honest with you, of all the measuring sticks that are changing, that was not changing. In other words, that's something you can always look at through God's word and say, hey, this is who I ought to be. This is what I ought to be. Okay, that's the way it is. I love that. I love that consistency that I can gravitate to that. When there's things changing I don't like, I don't want to change, I can always come back to say, but I know who I am in Christ and who I ought to be. And be careful, by the way, changing that measuring stick. Because that is trying to be changed today, and I want to talk a little bit about that. The fact of the matter is, even our churches today, the measure of what it means to be a Christian man is changing. It's just to be a Christian in general. And you go back 20 years, 30, 40 years ago, and you look at the church and what was kind of expected out of Christians, and I'm going to tell you something, it's changed in our culture, but it's not changed according to God. So I'm going to go to common scripture, if you don't mind, Romans chapter 12. Some of you have memorized this. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2, and very common. Now, don't turn me off because we're in a common passage of scripture, okay? So don't go, oh, I know those verses. Well, I'm glad you do. Praise God. That's a good thing. I hope you haven't memorized. I love it. That's a wonderful thing. But I'd like to look at it to start out tonight. Before we can get into tomorrow's message tomorrow afternoon, I just think it's good that we get this down pat. I really do. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit tonight as we read it and stand here in just a minute about basic Christianity. And let me tell you why it's important. I like sports. So football season is upon us. Basketball season's upon us. All the good sports are now here. I didn't mention soccer or hockey on purpose. I just mentioned the good ones. But in that, if you ever notice, even these guys that are the best at their professions, I mean, they're the ones we'd say are excelling. They're at the highest levels. You'll notice they'll come to training camp, and they've got to get back to, can we just say it, the basics. So before they get these new fandangled plays and everything learned and everything, they've got to make sure their body's in shape and their mind's in shape. And they're just going back to the basics of what makes things work. And that's not always enjoyable, but it's necessary. And I tell you that because I don't think I'm going to tell you necessarily something new tonight. That's not even my goal, to tell you the truth. But I do want to bring us back to the basics before we can get into tomorrow, before we can add something to our faith, before we can excel in our faith. Oh, sure, we love those messages. Man, preacher, give me something new and give me something that I can excel in. Man, I love that too, but here's the problem. It is useless. It is worthless if we're not doing the basics. And we love to walk out and say, man, I heard this message, and it was just such a great message, and I learned this truth. And again, I want to pull my hair out sometimes saying, who cares if we're not being the basic, normal Christian that God expects out of us? Then who cares if we learn some amazing prophecy? We learn some great tidbit of truth. We learned a historical point, but yet we go back to our homes and our churches. We're not even a basic Christian. We're not even living what we ought to be doing. And so we're talking about things that are excelling and amazing, and I love that too, but to get there, I want to make sure we're where we need to be. How's that? So I want to evaluate Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's stand, if you would, for a little bit this evening. If you're able to, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, don't complain. I have to stand for the whole message. You know, there's no mercy for even how long you have to stand. So if you're going, I hope he doesn't read long. Really, I don't care about that. Again, it doesn't impact me. So Romans 12, we're just going to read two verses because I can tell in your face some of you can't handle it. And I don't want you to faint because I mean, we've got this message coming up and that'd be bad. Romans 12, 1, take a look at it. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is, that's an important phrase, your reasonable service. I want you to look at that, your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or show, and look what it says. What is that? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Powerful verses we want to look at tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word and the guiding factor in our lives, Lord. We ask that you would illuminate and open up our minds and hearts to receive. Lord, that we would understand what you expect out of us, Lord, as basic Christianity. Lord, as we see in the verse here, Lord, what it means to, Lord, have reasonable service. So, Lord, help us to understand that tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I didn't want to look at that. You can be seated. I won't make you stand the whole time. I thought about it, but I decided not to. Reasonable service. I like that word reasonable, and you can break it up in a multitude of ways. And so when you do, I want you to probably put it in this context. I want you to kind of understand this phrase before I go too far. When I think of reasonable, I would put it in this context, that which is expected. So if I were to break it down to you without going into the Greek and doing all that, but just in common terminology, I would say reasonable service would be expected. Synonyms would be normal. That which is reasonable, that which is expected, that which is normal, that which is, can I say it this way, common. That which is common. So you can break it down, and so I want you to kind of get that first, because if we're going to talk about reasonable service, we're talking about something that is basic, reasonable, common. Let me illustrate it maybe this way. If you go out to a restaurant, and I go to the restaurant, and it's not McDonald's, you actually sit down at the restaurant, and they're going to serve you at the restaurant. So I'm going to go in, and I'm going to be taken to a table, and the front person will seat me, and then they'll tell me a waiter or waitress will come. You know the routine. They'll say, hello, my name is whatever. Would you like something to drink? And you all sit there going, do you have this? Do you have that? We make our orders. And then a few seconds or a few minutes later, that waitress, let's say, will come back, and she will put down your Coke Zero, for every righteous person drinks Coke Zero. And then she will say, are you ready to order? Now listen, I expect that, okay? And if we're not, we'll have a few more minutes, but normally we are, and we'll say, hey, I'll take this, I'll take that. She writes it down. She then goes into the kitchen area. She gives the order. She does not cook the food. I don't expect her to cook the food. That isn't reasonable, amen. But I do expect her to bring it back at some time. And I do expect it in kind of a reasonable amount of time. And in other words, you know, if I'm sitting there for 30 minutes, I'm like, wow, what did they do, go kill the cow, then cook it? You know, so whatever that time frame is, it then comes out. She begins to distribute the food. We make sure our orders are right. We then begin to eat. And that's just common. That's what happens. In that time, by the time we're done, she comes. You want anything else? She fills up our drinks. I do expect that. That is reasonable for it to be refilled before it's empty, just to let you know. Okay, so we go through. You all know this. This is a very common thing. At the end of that, let me tell you, she's not done anything so far that is above and beyond. All she's done is what I expect out of any restaurant I go to. And so at the end of that, I'm going to give her a reasonable tip. Okay? Now, I tip good. You say, why? My wife makes me. My wife was a waitress. I am demanded in life now. I give good tips. You know? And so I give her a good tip. We go on our way. We're done. Now, folks, that's expected. However, change the scenario. We do all that. I'm eating a piece of steak, and I start choking. The waitress comes up and does a Heimlich maneuver. I spit it all out. She saves my life. Hallelujah. Oh, can I tell you? She gets a bigger tip. Never had that happen. That's not common service. I never expected that, but praise God, she was there. Amen. Now, when our kids were little, sometimes we had babysitters, and every once in a while, if you don't have family, you have to hire somebody. Reasonable service. That babysitter will come in, and if you have two kids, three kids, four kids, if you have over four kids, good luck. But anyways, finding a babysitter. So anyways, the babysitter comes, and the babysitter's going to stay there. You and your wife, we come back from our wonderful date. We get back at whatever time it is. We're not young people, so it's probably like 8:30. So at 8:39, we're returning from a very busy night of eating out, driving around the lake, going, are you tired yet? Yeah, let's go back. And when we return, here's what I expect. If food was left, the babysitter's probably fed the kids. Hopefully, maybe the babysitter's put the kids down for bed. And when we walk in, here's what I want. The kids are alive, nobody is dead, and the house hasn't burnt down. Here's your money. Now, that is reasonable service. But now, wait a minute. What if this young lady has done the dishes, made extra meals for the week, totally cleaned the house, and reorganized my garage? You're going to tip her good. No, I'm adopting her. I'm definitely adopting that young lady out there right now. You are my daughter right now. You say, well, I mean, why? She just went above and beyond. And I tell you those things. I want you to get in your mind that which is common, that which is reasonable, that which is expected, compared to that which is not, compared to that which is above and beyond, that which excels even above what we would even expect. And in every culture, every area, there are those things that are just, well, that's reasonable to expect. I expect certain things. Our culture allows it, demands it. When I go out to eat, when I go to a store, whatever I do, there is already a norm. That's really all I'm getting at. There's a norm. And in that norm, it's expected. So wait a minute. Shouldn't you have a norm for Christianity? I mean, shouldn't there be a norm for Christianity? Let me help you. Yes. In other words, there is a norm for Christianity. Real quick, if you like to take notes, I want to give you five basic things that make up what I call basic Christianity. These are five basic things for basic Christianity. Matter of fact, you can even help me with this. A lot of pastors are here. Praise the Lord for this. But I can guarantee you, your pastors have preached on this multiple times. So if I put five basic Christianity, we call normal Christianity, I'd say number one this. Are you ready? Have you ever heard, read your Bible? Gentlemen, how many of you ever heard, read your Bible? How many of you hear it almost every time you come to church, read your Bible? Amen. No, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to hear multiple sermons about read your Bible. Can I tell you why? It's in the book. Yeah. Amen. I mean, very clear. By the way, if you call yourself a Christian, shouldn't you maybe have read the Bible all the way through? That's just a free one. Okay, it really is. I'm just going to help you real quick. We call ourselves a Christian. We have 66 books, and I would help you. I know the goal is always to read it through in a year, but if you take two, it's probably still okay. I mean, there's nothing that says read it through in a year. Oh, I didn't make it, preacher. What do I do? Well, we're going to have to kill you now. You're done. Thanks for coming. Well, no, we had a gentleman. I was preaching on this, and 70 years old, never read his Bible through, and said, I think I need to read my Bible through. I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, you ought to know the handbook. I didn't say memorize it, but seriously, you've never read it through? So I'm going to tell you, that's, and by the way, we keep preaching on this because they haven't read it through. I wish my preacher wouldn't mention it anymore. I wish you'd just read it, and then I'll stop mentioning it. How about that? We'll make a deal. Is that okay? But so we keep mentioning it because we talk to people all the time that don't read their Bible on a consistent basis. Number two, can you say this? Have you ever heard this? You ought to pray. Man, this is so deep. We're just like digging deep right now. So you ought to pray and you ought to read your Bible. Would you consider that reasonable for God to expect out of us? Normal service? Let me add a third one. This is probably the hard one. Are you ready? Go to church. Let me help you with that one because this culture doesn't think you have to be in church as a Christian. Are you ready? Christ died for the church. I don't go anywhere else. That's enough for me. Well, give me some more verses. Really? He died for the church. I'm thinking if the God of the universe died for the church and knew what it was going to be like because it's full of us, which means it's imperfect, you ought to be there. There's not really any excuse. Okay, so number three, a normal thing I would expect if I claim to be a Christian that, if you claim to be a Christian, I'm going to expect, you read your Bible. We'll talk about, hey, how's your Bible reading and where are you reading it? You ever pray? I don't know how to really talk real well. Okay. Well, how was services last week? We didn't make it. Are you with me? Now, I'm going to tell you, I just met him, and my thought is he really a Christian? And I'm going to tell you, I'm justified in that thought. Because we've had a conversation about three basic things right now, and he's not lined up with any of them. That's just normal. And my thought is, he's not really a Christian. I don't know if he is. I'm just saying that's my normal thought. Okay, number four, would you say this? Would you say that maybe in the Word of God, if you say no, I'm going to preach it. So let's go ahead and say yes, okay? Would you say that maybe the fourth thing for a basic thing, reasonable to expect out of any Christian would be this, that you tithe? Oh, we're going to hear about that, preacher. See, that attitude right there tells me you have a problem. I'm not even preaching on tithing, but I could. You know, it's something Baptists are very good at preaching on. But actually, I'm the worst at preaching on it, and I really am. You don't ever want to call me for a stewardship conference. It's a very short message. I'm going to tell you, there's God. He died for you. Give to your God. Next. Now, my mind can't fathom every religion in the world will sacrifice for their God. But Christians struggle at it. There's something wrong with that. We can't talk about it if a preacher preaches too much on it. I mean, it blows my mind that even the bringing up, some of you are already inside, I can feel it right now in your spirit going, he mentioned tithing. You can't be a leader in our church if you don't tithe. And I don't even blink at that. I'm like, that's basic Christianity. You don't give to God, but you want to be a trustee or deacon? You got to be kidding me. No, my mind can't even fathom that. Are you ready? That's basic stuff. You go to become a Catholic, become a Hindu, anything. You will gladly give to your God whatever that God is. Are you aware of this? And yet we're going to balk at that? I'm just telling you, folks, that's basic. We've got a gentleman in our church that's not in our leadership right now, and I appreciate him bowing out of it, but he's not in it because he says, preacher, I don't tithe. And I'm struggling with it, and because finances are tight. And I'm like, okay, well, you know the qualifications. And I don't look at whether they tithe or not. I'll ask the treasurer, hey, do these people give or not? Just tell me yay or nay. I don't need to know what they give. That's between them and God. But if you think they tithe, great. You know, but I'm thinking, but wait a minute. So wait a minute. You shouldn't be, but I'm thinking, really, at this stage in your life, okay, you're not even, are you ready? In basic 101 Christianity, we've not even talked about anything difficult. And number five, can I tell you this? Are you ready? And number five, I'd say this, basic Christianity. Are you ready? Have you ever heard this? Share your faith. Have you ever heard that maybe you ought to witness and tell someone about Jesus? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Ever hear a message on that one in a Baptist church? Now, could we agree? And you don't have to. But I think I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I just want to build up. I think I could prove pretty quickly and pretty easily, if you doubted those things, that those five things are expected out of everybody, not pastors, not staff, every born-again believer. Amen. And to whatever degree, I'm not the type, we got to witness 4 hours a day, pray 3 hours a day, read your Bible 4 hours a day. That I don't even do that. That blows my mind. We're now into 12 hours, and I haven't eaten yet, okay? You know, I mean, no, we're not talking about me setting a schedule. I'm just saying, those are basic Christian things. And you may struggle with those, but you should be working on them all of your life. Are you ready? It is reasonable Christianity. And there's nobody that's been a believer for any length of time that ought to be a shock on. And I'm telling you, we ought to be good at those things. And we ought to be proficient at those things. And probably every year we need to hone those things in. Why? They're the foundation of who we are. And before we can ever excel and do something great for God and be there the way God wants us to do, I'm going to tell you, if those things get out of whack, you will not add to your faith the way God wants. It's not going to happen. Why? That is basic Christianity. And every year we got to tweak it and hone it in. Why? Because we're human. And sometimes we get away from our Bible reading and we don't pray like we should. And maybe we're not witnessing like we should. But we know, get back to it right away. Get back to the basics. Why? Because that's what Christianity is about. And if I stopped right there, we'd probably all agree. But what we probably didn't understand is that's not all of it. We just read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul talking to the church, interesting, just told them, listen, I want to tell you what reasonable service is, and he never mentioned one of those things. Not one of those items were brought up in reasonable service. Not a one. That doesn't mean they're not included. I'm just telling you, we would all accept those, but I want you to understand something. From the time of the early church till now, there's actually more to basic, reasonable service that we need to understand. And that's what I want to look at tonight. Let's take a look as he begins. When he talks to them, he acts as though this is very basic. This is very easy. Verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, according to Paul, as he looked at reasonable, basic Christianity, he says this is reasonable service that what? First of all, your body belongs to God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Do you understand, gentlemen? This body, this world that you live in tells you this. You own your body. It's yours. Do what you want with it. No. Our body belongs to God. When we got saved, he didn't just get our spirit and our soul. He got my body. Why? Because we're Christians. And basic Christianity is this. I belong to you. Matter of fact, why? That we may prove it is that perfect and complete what will of God. In other words, what? I live for the will of God in my life. Whatever he wants. Some of you are plumbers. Guess why? Because God gave you the ability. Be a plumber and be a Christian plumber. Amen? You're electricians and you're in tech and you're in agriculture. Pray, folks, you got there because God equipped you for that. Get excited about that and do it. But the reality is this. It's not because you're so smart and so good. It's because God gave you that ability. And in that, he says this, and I love this. He says, listen, you belong to him. I love that part of it. He says, I'm a living sacrifice unto God. And that sacrifice, are you ready? Isn't anything but, here it is, ready? Basic Christianity. You realize in Israel is in a constant state of war. They have a thing called conscription. When you turn 18 years old, male or female, you will serve, and it's somewhere between 18, I think, 21, somewhere in that time frame as I looked it up, you will serve 2 years in the military at least. And for some, it's up to about 3 years. For ladies, it's about 18 months to 24 months, somewhere right in there. And literally every single adult, now there's exceptions according to health and things like that, but like 76% of the population, are you ready, will serve 2 years. Are you ready? That's normal. No. Nobody, if you serve 2 years, nobody goes, oh, man, hero. Would you please stand? We want to thank you for your service, sir. Thank you very much, Jeremiah. No, that doesn't happen. You know why? Everybody served. No, they don't have military days like we do. Why? It's useless. Think about a military. No, I love our military. You don't know me, so let me clarify that. Is he dishing our military? Not a bit. My dad's, I love the military, of course. I just want to show you the difference. See, in our country, if you serve in the military, that's something unusual. That's extra service. Are you with me? And we do honor that. Why? Because it's extra service. Can I help you in Israel? If you had a military day, everybody stands. Like now, honor our military, which is basically honoring the whole country. Okay, everybody stand. Right now, are you with me? So, don't you see the difference? No, we do it here. Why? Because it's not normal. It's not the expected. It's not the average thing here. And I'm not attacking that. I'm saying, but they didn't come to me at 18 and said, you must serve for 2 years. It wasn't the normal thing. We're not in a constant state of war, but it is there. Now, I'm telling you that because I tell you, we're in a constant spiritual warfare. No, we are. And we got to look at things differently. There was a church in Tulsa, Guts Church. Guts Church. That's a gutsy name, but anyways. At Guts Church, they had a program, and it was a one-year internship at the church. And you had to sign up for it, and they had a waiting list. And they chose a certain number of people that would be a one-year intern. The church would provide you a place to live, and they would teach you about ministry, and you'd serve in, like, we have VBSs, and in Sunday school, and outreach, and missions trips, and everything. And you would do this for a year, and you had to go through an approval process. You had to sign up, and are you ready? And you're going to pay for it. No, you pay for it. The only thing the church provides is a place to stay. They don't even recommend that you have a side job. They allow it, but it can't conflict with any ministry taking place. And are you ready? College students are lining up for it. I wonder if I started that program at Central Baptist Church, Brother Ted. We're going to have a one-year internship for our young people that graduated from high school. And if you'll sign up in the foyer, now we're only taking the top five. Chirp, 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 chirp. You won't be paid for this. What you're going to do is because you love God and you want to learn how to be a better Christian, and you may not be going to the ministry, and that's fine. It's not designed specifically for that. You just want to serve God for a year of your life and dedicate. And we're going to train you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and we're going to have you involved in all types of ministries, and then you're going to your career. So please sign up in the back, and you're paying for everything. I've never launched that program. You know why? I'm scared no one would sign up. Or the one person who signed up, I don't want them to sign up. Amen. You all know who that is, okay? Now you do. You say, preacher, I don't know who that is in our church. It's you. If you can't think of someone else, it's you. That's how that works. So I'm just telling you, it's amazing to me. I like basketball. I remember Sean Bradley, I believe it was, playing basketball. I'm trying to remember now if it was for Utah or which team he was playing for. But he played NBA basketball and then took a break to do his two-year missions trip as a Mormon. And every Mormon, by the age of 25, are you ready? And it's the exact same thing. They expect you and your family to pay for them to not work but to go on a two-year mission trip. Now, gentlemen, can I help you? That is basic in their religion. That is normal. Yeah, we come to church a couple times a week. And, oh, man, I've really sacrificed for Jesus. And I give, and oh, I preach, I make sure I tithe and everything. And we're praying, family. We pray over our meals and stuff. And we got a Bible, got like five of them in the house. And I want you to know, we are dedicated Christians. Are we? I'm not trying to be mean, but is that really what the Bible teaches? If I do those five basics, somehow I've arrived. Now understand me. I understand some of the heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ, which even more should be a great love for that God that I want to sacrifice for him. And so when we come to verse 1 and he says reasonable sacrifice, I'd say this, reasonable service, basic Christianity is not just those five basics, which they are. That'd be abnormal not to do those things. But can I tell you? It means this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I don't live it for John Waterloo, but I live it for Jesus Christ. You say, why? I am his. What he tells me to do, I do. Where he tells me to go, I go. Why? I am his, and I will sacrifice for him. And it's not that I'm doing this phenomenal sacrifice and giving so much to the God who saved my soul. And I do believe there's extreme sacrifices, and there's sacrifices that are above level. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. If we're not sacrificing our life right now for him in some way, guess what? We're not even at basic 101. We're not even at basic Christianity. And you bet, man, I've seen situations. And I've seen things that I'm like, man, that person excelled. They went above. We see it in ball games. We're going to watch football, a lot of people, on Sunday afternoon, and you'll be watching a ball game. And can I tell you, I'm not impressed when that lineman makes a good block. It's their job. I don't go, wow, I see that left tackle, man, what a great block. I'm like, well, yeah, that's what they pay him, $5 million or $20 million to do. I'm not impressed. Oh, look at that guy. He's been in 76% of the snaps, and he's running out there. Yeah, he makes $10 million. He better be in 76% of the snaps. You know what I'm saying? And he's running those routes and they haven't thrown him the ball all day. Well, I'm so sorry. No. Look at him. He caught the ball. Yeah, it was right to him. But think it's the reverse. You're getting paid $10, $20 million to hit you in the hands and you drop it. That's where everybody goes, come on. Now, don't hurt his feelings. He's got feelings. I don't care. He's got $20 million, too, and he dropped the ball. And our team lost. So, hey, how about that? Well, you know, that's hard. Yeah, that's why I don't do it. Why are you dogging him? Because he is doing it, and he's getting paid for it. This isn't that hard. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about, you ever see your guy go up? Single cover, double covered. I was watching a game the other day. One-handed catch. Can I tell you? Now, that's excellent. No, I'm going, oh, I don't think I'll ever forget that play. Oh, I was like, that is amazing. Just happened to be Oklahoma football, but anyways. It's funny how that just slides in, huh? But I'm watching this, all of a sudden, backward flip, one-handed catch. I'm like, hallelujah. Man, I was up and down going, replay that baby. Why? That's not common. No, that's not normal. I watched Kyle Murray throws a ball. DeAndre Hopkins last year jumps up with three people around him. They keep replaying that baby. You know why they replay that one all the time? He's in the end zone with three people. He jumps up, grabs it, brings it down, and scores. I'm like, that's an amazing play. Going on a route and catching the ball on a design route, it's not real amazing. It is reasonable to expect he's going to catch it. You have to do something above that. So are there sacrifices and things that do excel? Yes, there are. Better illustrate this way. I know it's a men's meeting, but can I use a lady illustration? Well, sure, Brother Waldo, go ahead. Thank you. We live in Kay County, Oklahoma, and we're way up north Oklahoma. In that area, what has happened is we have the highest pregnancy rate of all of Oklahoma. So what that means is in our church, we're very accustomed to having young ladies who get pregnant, come to our church pregnant, lived together, married out of wedlock all the time. So this is what's developed in our church, and I'll tell you what's happened. When a young person is getting married now, our first thought is, are they living together? I wonder if she's pregnant. I mean, that is the default thought. Well, Pastor, you shouldn't think that way. You don't live in Kay County. So what happens, you have someone growing up in the church, and you're wondering, well, I hope they make it. Hope they do this one right. So they get together, and all of a sudden you find out from the family, yeah, you know what? Hey, they're not living together. She's not pregnant because they've not been together. They've waited for marriage. We're like, hallelujah, whoa! I mean, people come out of the woodworks. We have a big old ceremony. We're like clapping. This couple did it right. They get all kinds of presents. And we're like, I tell my wife, this is amazing. Man, what a sharp couple. I mean, they're like the best Christian couple ever. I mean, they waited to get married. They did it right. Oh, this is wonderful. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with us? That ought to be every single person who claims to be a Christian. That's not strange or a hero excellent situation. They've not just excelled, but we literally lift them up as super Christians because they did something every believer ought to do. And then I'm guilty of that because I'm the one going, oh, man, this is great. And I'm thinking, stop. We have so lowered the bar. We've come down to hear Paul saying, I beseech you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading you with you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? It is what God deserves. It's reasonable that my life would belong to him. Why? Because he died for me. And to expect me to serve him and, yes, pray and read my Bible and say, whatever you want, God, my life belongs to you. And it's not about my purposes in life. No, it's not about what John Waterloo wants to do in life. No, I am a Christian that belongs to you. And I have to work a job, and I got to pay my bills. But that's normal, you betcha. But can I tell you, I'm working the job you want me to work. I'm doing what you want me to do. And my life isn't about me. It's about your church and what you want. That is normal. You know what normal Christianity is? My life revolves around the house of God. No, wait. That's not strange. That's Christianity. We've made it strange in this generation. You're called a fanatic if you go to church too much. Weren't you just there? All the books now you read, I tell our young preacher boys, you read a book about preaching today, there's some preachers that are phenomenal. I'm going to admit, I thought about changing denominations. Got real quiet. That's good. I say, why? Well, if I become something other than Independent Baptist, I only preach once a week. So most of the books I read, it's telling you how to get a sermon together for Sunday morning. Just Sunday morning. I got to admit, I'll confess with you, at Independent Baptist, we're a little crazy. I call us the Marines of Christians. No, seriously, I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, we got Christian school, I'm teaching, and I love to preach the Word of God. But you go outside of our fellowship, and it's like, okay, we're going to teach a Sunday morning message, and then maybe a little Devo sometime every once in a while during the week. That's the average pastor. I'm like, huh, interesting. Yeah, that's amazing. That's the thought of, when I retire, I'm just kidding. sometimes. But anyway, it just blows my mind. Now, wait a minute. You see, that's the norm. So we start getting used to this. And in that, if you come to church once a week now, you're considered a faithful Christian. They're even breaking that now if you go once or twice a month. Now think about that, folks. That's embarrassing to me that would be the stats for real Christianity. That I would just give God a little bit of my time and a little bit of my effort. When in reality, according to him, basic, reasonable, I'm not even told you anything extreme yet. Christianity is, I belong to him. Which means my life ought to reflect this, that I sacrifice for my God wholeheartedly and it doesn't bother me. The church needs mowed, not a problem. Church needs cleaned, not an issue. You say, why? We will make the time. You know why? Because this is God's church. And it's all about him and it's not about me. And I'm going to find a way to be involved because, are you ready? It's reasonable service. No, wait, we can stay there a long time, but there's another verse. Look at the next verse. And be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've got a whole series on renewing of your mind, but we don't have time for that. But I want to look at this. Be not conformed to this world. Now, you know what this means. Don't be fashioned like the world. Reasonable service is not only does my life belong to him, and it's not this superhero thing because I serve at the church and I do something for Jesus besides read my Bible and pray. No, that's normal Christianity. Every Christian ought to be doing that. Every Christian ought to be involved in their church. You ought to be. That's normal Christianity. Okay? But now the next part is this. Are you ready? Be not conformed. That word form means fashioned. And it basically means this, if you've heard it. We believe in this, that I ought to look like a Christian and not like the world. How's that? Now, I'm not going to give you a list here. That's not my style of preaching. Because I believe you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Everybody knows what that means. If you're a Christian, here's what this means. I'm an Independent Baptist preacher. Here's what that means. You can find me and pick me out of a crowd anywhere. I mow my lawn in khakis and a polo shirt. Are you ready? Every good preacher wears khakis and a polo shirt. If you see any guy outside in khakis and a polo shirt, you should assume he's in the ministry. I'm going to help you right now. We have the same haircuts. I mean, look at this. Look at this right here. Go ahead. Would you stand up for a minute? Somebody. There's a book for this stuff, just to let you know. I can't hide. I mean, I've tried. I've gone places before and not told people who I am. It doesn't work. I had to get a haircut once, and I was in a rush coming to a meeting like this, and I'm like, ah. So I went to this, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but it's a hair salon place. That's not funny, okay? People have to get haircuts. But it's late in their church, and I'm like, surely, all you gotta do is just cut it the same way. It's been the same way for 50 years. Okay, how hard is this? And I'm like, I'm in a rush. It's gonna be a thin and trim. That's all it is, okay? So I show up. Hey, I know I never come here. I gotcha. But my barber's booked up. I waited too long. Thin and trim. Real simple. Okay. Well, let me have one of the girls help you out. I'm like, that's great. You betcha. So I walk in. I sit down. I don't say a word. Shouldn't you be witnessing to her? I'm sorry. I wasn't that day, okay? What did you say to her? Nothing. Thin and trim. And I went like this. So she started cutting, started talking. And then she started telling me her life story. I mean, all of it. Trouble she's having with her husband and separation. She doesn't know what to do. And just tears coming and everything. I've not said a word. And all of a sudden she goes, you are so easy to talk to. What do you do for a living? I just want a haircut today. I'm a minister. Oh, good. Now she has questions. Okay. I'm saying you can't hide. Folks, here's the way this works. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Can I tell you? I'm not here talking about how you dress. And stuff. That's not the purpose. It's that there is a form to Christianity. Body, soul, and spirit. Can I tell you? You get around a Christian man, people should just know this. Thou art a Christian. It's that simple. No, they ought to just know. Matter of fact, if they're questioning it or they're wondering, something's wrong. I don't have to walk around with my big King James Bible like this. Jesus loves you. Because if you do that, I'm not opening the door for you, and I know you, okay? No, I don't. My boys went to, we did multiple things with my boys. We homeschooled until my wife was going to kill them. Then we put them in a Christian school, but we didn't have high school Christian school, so we put our boys in our high school. So we've done homeschooling, Christian school, and public school. They went into ninth grade, and honestly, I'll be honest, we use it for our boys as a test as well. I told my wife, man, if this don't work, we pull them out right away. We continue to homeschool them. You guys hate each other for life, but it works, you know. So we put them in, and I said, all this training now, and again, this isn't advice. I'm just telling you what we did. I said, I just want to see if they're going to be able to live the Christian life because they're going to be out in the world one day. And I said, so I just want to see. So I said, we got the safeguard. We're going to be involved and everything, but let's give it a shot. So we did. And so we put them in and everything, and we're going along this way. And our boys played sports. They were very good baseball players, basketball. I mean, really good. I'll brag on them now. They were MVP 3 years in a row. You want to see pictures? No, of course not. But anyways. So yeah, you know, Dad, you love that. They're very good athletes and very skilled, all that kind of fun stuff. But in that, and what I'm getting to is when they did that, here's the thing. I didn't mind that they were MVP for their play, but I'm going to be real honest with you. I would have been livid, I mean mad, if they were actually popular in school. Are you ready? No, you probably never heard that before, so let me help you. I would have been livid if they're popular in school for anything outside of their faith. You're popular in school because of your faith, I have no issue with that. But you're like popular in school, I'm gonna help you real quick. You're not gonna like this, but this is free and I get to go back to Oklahoma. Now there's something wrong when your daughter and your sons are popular in school and it's not because of their Christianity. And you may not get that, but you should get that. Because can I tell you, we are different from the world. We are different from the world. They would talk about our sons, and they said, man, they're such good kids, but their parents are so mean. I love that. Man, we got excited about stuff like that. That never offended us. We're like, yeah, because we wouldn't let them go out with the other guys and do things and all that kind of stuff. Didn't bother. No, didn't. Matter of fact, you might as well have patted me on the back saying, good job. Now, that's not what they were doing. They were attacking, and they didn't realize, no, that's a compliment to me. Why? We're not raising our children to be like the world. Now, verse 2, are you ready? Of basic, common Christianity. See, we've not even gotten anything deep yet. No, this is normal Christianity. Reasonable service is for God to expect you to look like, act like, talk like a Christian. When you're out and about, there's no debate where you work. And they may not know the terminology, but they know you're religious. They may use that word because right, they don't understand. That you're a religious person, aren't you? You know, because you don't do like they do. We don't tell the jokes. We don't cuss. We don't talk about our wives the way they do. No, we don't do that kind of stuff. We don't watch the same shows. We don't talk about the same thing. No, we are totally different, and it's not unusual. Matter of fact, it's unusual for you not to be. Every man that walks through that door in an independent Baptist church or any Christian church ought to be someone who reads his Bible. He prays. He gives. He attends church. He shares his faith. And he sacrifices for Almighty God. And when you look at him, you know he's a Christian. Why? That's what the Bible says. And you've just made it to basic Christianity. And I'm going to tell you, most of our churches, we applaud those men like they're some type of heroes. Even as Pat, we're so excited that they're so dedicated and they come to all the services. And you can tell they talk about God and their families, they look sharp and they're coming and they're involved. And I'm telling you, that's wonderful, but shouldn't that be everybody that's been in church any length of time? And we come to a place like this and I read him and Paul says, which is your reasonable service. So the question tonight before we can get to tomorrow is basically this. Where are you at? Where are you at? I mean, the things I just mentioned ought to be basic, common things that are normal in your life. If I were to ask your wife and ask your kids, if those things are prevalent in your life, there should be an easy yes. Oh, I didn't say you never make mistakes, because we all do. Amen? That's not the message. I didn't say you didn't love God. That's not the message. I'm saying everybody around you, they ought to say, oh, no, my dad, he loves Jesus. And, I mean, we do a lot at the church and for the church. And we pray and we read our Bible and that's what we do. I mean, what are we talking about, preacher? Yeah. Okay, ready? If I were to ask your pastor, what would he say about you? Now, remember, we're not talking about any extreme levels here. We're just talking, would your pastor, if he had to be honest and just wasn't trying to be nice, that's a good guy. No, that's not what I asked. Do you consider so-and-so basic Christian according to these guidelines? You have something that needs to be done at the church, you can count on him. Nope. You look at him and his family, they do everything they can to live in this world, not be like this world. And that's just general. We're not even talking about deep stuff yet. You know they give, you know they serve. No. Would your pastor, would your family say, yep, that's my daddy, that's my brother, that's who they are, and that's my norm. That's my norm. Because why? I'm a real Christian. That's basic Christianity, gentlemen. Gentlemen, I ask you tonight, are you there? Have you been there? For a lot of you, you've been there. Can I tell you? Let's get back. Let's get back every year, because this is basic Christianity. And you won't be able to add to your faith until those things are where they need to be. And you may have to tweak those every year because we are human. But tonight, that's the message God wanted me to preach, so that's what we're preaching. And I have no idea where you all are at spiritually. But I do know this. I'd be shocked if everybody here could honestly say, yep, my pastor, my family would identify me as, you know what, a reasonable Christian. That's right. If not, let's do something about it. If your heart's for God, you know what he's pricked your heart about. You bow to him and talk to him. Say, Lord, help me to get back to where I need to be. Because if I don't, and those basics aren't where they need to be, you will faint. No, you will faint. Because that's what keeps us going. That's what makes us reasonable Christian. Let's stand. Lord, we come to now. We thank you for your word, Lord. And the blessing it is. Basic message tonight, Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2 gives us a command, not a suggestion. Lord, it outlines for us what is a reasonable, expected Christianity. Not excelling, not amazing, not superhero stuff. But Lord, we try to preach tonight, there ought to be a basic level, basic measuring stick for all Christians. And the things that I mentioned, Lord, some men may be struggling with, and maybe they don't tithe them. They're not real faithful. And Lord, they've not read their Bible through, and they rarely read it now. And Lord, those things need to get back on track. Lord, if we're going to lead our families, be the men that you expect us to be, we have to be doing what is reasonable and basic first. So Lord, move upon your men, the hearts of these people, as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name.